Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
Welcome to the Brown Briefly, the podcast and weekly radio show on Voice of Vachon, located on beautiful Vachon Island, rising above the waters of the Salish Sea between Seattle and Tacoma in the state of Washington. And there is an R in Washington for all those who don't pronounce it that way. That was the voice of Brian Brown, creator of the Brown Briefly. Brian started the Briefly and brought his high standards of intelligent discussion of current events laced with humor and empathy. Brian's motto was, less is more. More or less. And he always offered us much, much more. Our Briefly panel includes our big board pilot, real-life pilot, treetop flyer, Montana musician, and most almost fully reformed West Texan, Truman O'Brien.
I'm not going there. Good morning. Good morning.
Also joining us is our legal eagle, consensus builder, former Washington State Assistant Attorney General, Pinkerton Guard, and Fulbright scholar, Craig Bellis.
Good morning.
We're missing Kevin Jones this morning.
He's there.
He's there.
He said he had to run something out to his car,
okay.
And he'll be right back.
So Kevin is joining us via Zoom from somewhere to the north in Canada, I believe.
I don't know where he is.
I think so. So he'll be back in a minute. And then Amy Dreher, our part-time Politico and full-time shenanigans coordinator, is on a ferry headed this way, and so she'll join us. Hopefully, before we're done. And I'm historian Bruce Hallman. Today, we welcome to the Briefly Betty Edwards, longtime Islander, maven of mayhem, and instigator of all kinds of fun things. But before we jump into the small talk and get acquainted with Betty, let's take some time and see what people have been up to this week. Truman, how about you?
Well, you know, last week, Craig was bragging on how much money he had won at the poker game. and so I couldn't let him get away with that. So it was my turn on Thursday. I cleaned up the house, man.
Fantastic.
Yeah, this doesn't happen very darned often, but
That's how they sucker people in.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Minnesota fats, you know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We took a little charity.
Yeah, a little pity on Truman.
Pity, I'm sure. That's right.
Yeah. No, you know, really, it's just crazy. Every time that we dealt the cards, I would go, you got to be kidding me. I mean, the cards were just coming my way. I didn't have anything to do with my skill. It was just the luck of the draw, as they say. But anyway, that was great fun. That's about it.
Okay, don't let him get off that easy, Craig.
I'm not going to let him get off that easy. You got to believe there wasn't skill. He would hang around in a seven-card game until the seventh card, and that was the card
that would win the hand.
I mean, all the odds were against him.
Isn't that crazy?
So enough of that.
Just every time. I mean, it was just the darndest thing.
My week was highlighted by a talk by Michael Mead Friday. At the Methodist Church, living in a time of overwhelm, which was appropriate after that poker game on Thursday. But it's also appropriate in the political times that we live in. It was an excellent, excellent talk. And other than that, the week has been highlighted by people inviting my wife, Lynette, and I over to eat. we're always very... You know, grateful for that. So that's the great community of Vachon, and it's nice to have a less than a 5-minute drive back to your home here after you're maybe had a little bit of alcohol. So that was my week.
Sounds good. Is Kevin with us?
Oh, yeah. There he is.
Oh, there he is.
Hey,
right.
Kevin, are you on?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
How's your week been?
You know, we've been traveling, so today is the day we leave our political sanctuary of Canada and come back to home. So we took yesterday a tour of the Parliament buildings, where the tour guide pointed out that I think for the first time in history, the BC Parliament now has a majority of women seated in the chamber. So I was happy to hear that. Very progressive, I thought.
So how are they feeling about the Prime Minister being called governor and Canada?
We haven't talked to any Canadians who are willing to, you know, share their opinions about that.
Oh, boy. You
know, they're very polite here, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like an enjoyable break. I assume you're in Victoria, correct?
We are, yeah. We're going to hop on the Black Ball Ferry. It departs here at 4 into small craft warnings with 25 to 30 knot winds.
That should be a bit of a bumpy ride across the straits.
Oh, that should be fun. Yeah.
We'll see how a 300-foot boat handles the water.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you it rolls because the boat's going north to south and the waves are going
east to west.
Yeah. So yes. It's a rolly trip, but it's a great trip. Oh, fun.
We'll take our Dramamine.
Yeah, there you go.
So, Betty, what have you been up to this week? What are you up to every week?
Well, this month has been a lot of Merry Ho Ho and a lot of Santa. Santa came for his last visit on Vashon this week down to his cottage. And he was joined by Vashon Honk. Is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
oh, fabulous group. Absolutely a fabulous group. They called and asked if they could come play music for Santa. And I have a great film of Santa out in the parking lot doing his boogie routine, dancing up like no. And that band has, they have a tuba that's over 100 years old.
Jessica plays the tuba.
Yes. Yeah. Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. So we were busy handing out candy canes, and Santa was out giving out his pillowcases for visions of sugar plums dancing in children's head. So that was where my week was spent, was getting ready for that.
Sounds like an enjoyable week.
It was. Lots of cheer and lots of laughter.
Cool.
My week was spent trying to get our grandkids' electric trains working.
That could be a job.
Which is really a fascinating thing to me, because they're 10, 7, and 3. And so they've grown up with screens. I mean, they do everything, you know, on computers and screens and tablets and all that sort of stuff. And a couple years ago, I wondered, would they be interested in electric trains? So I set up my electric trains around our Christmas tree, and they were fascinated.
Lionels?
Standard gauge.
Yeah.
Big standard gauge sort of stuff. And they were just, I couldn't believe it, you know, and they just couldn't stop playing with it. So last Christmas, I gave them an extra set I had, so they have their own set. But we can't get it to quite run in the way it's supposed to. So it's sort of like, it's not rocket science, but.
but it might as well
patience,
be, right?
Patience, yes.
Put too many of those tablets in the, the smokestack and it won't run anymore.
That's right. You know, I have a friend who's Spanish, and his daughter and her husband live in San Francisco now in the States. And they have three kids. They're all born in the States. So Charlie Juan Carlos, when I hear from him, he said, the Americans were here visiting, you know. He calls them the Americans. Yeah. But he has a picture of the kids around the Christmas tree with a train going around, and they are obviously fascinated. Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was cool.
To me, it's interesting that sort of electronic generation, because they're on screens all of the time.
Yeah.
And they get this sort of, you know, antiquated mechanical kind of thing, and they're just fascinated.
Three dimensions.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Three dimensions. Yeah. And hands on.
And tactile.
Return. Return. Yeah.
Right. So today, before we jump into talking to Betty, just a little review of today, significant day, December 17th. It's National Maple Syrup Day. Yeah, exactly. Canada is the leading producer of maple syrup in the world, But up until 1930s, the United States was, and then Canada sort of took over. And, of course, Vermont is a leading state in the United States producing maple syrup. But there's a big effort to develop maple syrup in Washington State using the big leaf maples. And so there's a group, Neal's Big Leaf Maple Syrup in Acme, Washington, which is to the east of Bellingham, so up in the foothills of the Cascade. And they make this incredible maple syrup. So when you're ready for pancakes.
So it's just our regular big leaf maple?
Regular big leaf maples.
Really?
Yep. They do the same thing that maples in Vermont do. When you tap into them, they just sort of excrete the syrup. And then you boil it down and...
So is it going to be called Acme Big Leaf Maple? And it's going to be the Roadrunner? Coyote?
Who's going to spread it on the road, and when the Roadrunner stops and starts licking it up, bam!
Bam. I love it.
Yeah, I never knew there was an Acme, Washington. It's sort of interesting.
I know. It sounds like unreal real estate.
Today, of course, is Wright Brothers Day, 1903, the first manned flight at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina.
Yeah, and Truman. A bit of clarification, it is actually Killdevil Hills.
Oh, Killdevil
Hills. That's the name, and they...
They didn't like that name.
When they did it, they talked amongst themselves, and they said, you know... People probably aren't going to like this Killdevil Hills. So they're right next door to Kitty Hawk, so they decided to use that.
Interesting.
I thought that was interesting.
And how long a flight was it?
It's less than a minute.
Yeah, right.
Very first one.
Yeah, it's
12 seconds.
12 seconds. I thought it
was the third one.
Oh, 43 or something.
Yeah, 47 actually.
47, yeah, that's it.
But the very first one, 12 seconds and 120 feet.
Wow.
And my question is, why North Carolina and not Ohio, where they lived and they had their factory?
The winds coming in off the ocean.
Up the ocean.
And the sand dunes. It was
A little bit warmer, December 17th.
Yeah, no kidding.
Put it on skis.
Yeah. I got one more bit for that, and that is Brian Brown, our wonderful originator here. His wife gave me a present. A couple of years ago, the head of the art department at Time Magazine made for Brian an hourglass, and it's in an open box, and it has the sand from Killdevil Hills in it. Mm-hmm. The sand runs for 47 seconds, and there is a plaque on the side of it that describes what this is. And he gave it to Brian, you know, many, many, many years ago. And after Brian died, Sheila said, I think you being a pilot should have this. And I was thrilled, to say the least.
That's a beautiful gift.
Yeah,
a gift from the heart.
It is. And I really think it belongs at Smithsonian. So I'm thinking about that. So anyway, it's a very cool thing.
Yep, definitely. Yep. So also today is International Day to End Violence Against Sex Workers, which began in in the late 90s, and I think as a result of a memorial for the Green River Killer victims. And Craig, you were involved with that to some extent, right?
I was, although I don't know if I want to talk about what side I was on at the time. It was a test of our adversarial form of criminal procedure where... Both the defendants and the state get their own representation. I happen to be on the defendant's side. So.
And it also is Say It Now Day, a chance to tell people how you really feel about them. not totally. It's supposed to be a day that you express gratitude for the ways that people have affected your life. So hold yourself in restraint.
I was going to say, the airing of the grievances is something, don't we deal with that every day at the Brown Briefly show?
So today in history, 14 days until the new year begins. On this day in 1777, France formally recognized the United States as a country. And in 1933, the very first NFL championship, National Football League championship, was played between the New York Giants and the Chicago Bears. Chicago won 23-21.
Wow.
Before you flip the page, when was the first Super Bowl?
Ooh, 62 or 3, I think.
Seven.
67.
67. Wow. Between?
Green Bay and Dallas.
Green Bay and the Chiefs.
Oh, the Chiefs. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Fred Hammer.
That's right.
There you go.
Yep.
Ooh, testing our 60s knowledge.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Also in 1967, Harold Holt, who was Prime Minister of Australia, disappeared while swimming off of Portsea, which is a resort town on the Victoria coast, the southern coast of Australia. And he was presumed drowned. And so in a very Australian way, to memorize him, what they did is they named a swimming pool after him, which is only happens in Australia.
I was going to say, oh, my God.
And then in 1989, just to give yourself some sense of how old we really are, in 1989, The Simpsons premiered.
Wow.
So The Simpsons have been around for a long time.
Mm.
So
25 years.
Yeah.
So small talk. Let's welcome Betty Edwards, and we want to hear some of your Vashon stories, Betty. So why don't you just start and talk to us a little bit about pre-Vashon Betty.
Pre-Vashon.
Wait a second. Wait a minute. Pre-Vashon. That's going back a little.
It's okay. You know, how did I end up on Vashon? That's a really long story with a lot of details, and I will just say that I'll kind of keep it short. I grew up in Oregon, Eugene, Oregon, as a matter of fact. Graduated in class of 63. And I have gone back for every single one of my class reunions, and I advise everybody to do that because it's just a hoot and a kick, a lot of fun. So my parents, I was born into one of those families. It was just a really close, connected family. And my mother was park director. And so that was my brainstorming, or that was my whatever you want to call it, training. And yes, she did a soapbox derby race down the hill that we lived at the bottom of. And it was a national one that they competed for. So there were a lot of my mom's ideas that are still in my head. Santa Claus, that's where I kind of started to believe because I recognized a pair of shoes. So there's a lot of tie in there that just kind of goes together. So I graduated, worked for the gas company in Eugene, and ended up following my heart, just a crazy thing, and moved to Portland and stayed in clerical work. And just a hoot, I don't know exactly how it happened, I was offered a job in the marketing department. And I had a boss who believed in I could do anything and everything, and he was very, very, very supportive. So I worked for the marketing company then, and going in and training people on, believe it or not, back at that time, conservation by using gas. And we did some crazy things. I stayed in a trailer on the state fairgrounds and cooked watermelons filled with rum on the rotisserie. So it was just...
That's right. Let's explore that one a little
bit. Makes you want to go,
Everybody, you know, they'd stop and see what it was. And then, yeah, but I learned a lot about carnival. Yeah, carnival life. And so then I stayed there for, I was probably with a gas company there for like 5 years. And the old heart rooming was saying, okay, let's go see what's the next step in life. And I ended up moving up to Vashon. I had friends in Portland that she worked for Nordstrom. And I would go in and say, I need 6 pair of pants, et cetera, 3 shirts, and do it. Well, when I came to Vashon, Portland, to Seattle, I actually ended up going to work for Nordstrom. And they, how do I say this? I was the Sally Brown girl, as they called her then. I was doing what I had been doing in the other position. And it was a stretch, but it was fun. And Sherry, Chris, who lived here on the island, is the woman who started me working for the display department. And that's kind of, again, how the connection of the Santa came, because they were very involved in Santa in the window. And so that was just a nice draw to that. And by chance, I had done a party because I used to do big things, Italian promotions, English promotions, et cetera, et cetera. And somebody there liked me and called and said, would you like to interview for the fashion department? And I was like, huh? That's not my thing. I'm the blue jean girl. And I'm the one who calls Nordstrom to do those things. But I did. I spent 3 years with Nordstrom, and I ended up as corporate fashion director. Mm. So big steps, always just following the heart, the impact, whatever it was. And that opened a lot of eyes for me. And one day I kind of went, we actually did for Ilsley Nordstrom, we actually did a show on the Kingdom floor, complete with sound, fake, not fake, but real trees brought in to do the whole thing. So we did one at the Laserium. So I was hiring models, doing sound, doing runway. It was really fun. But I really realized you couldn't commentate at the, you know, at the Seattle Yacht Club and the next day show up at the Seahawks game in your blue jeans, because that denim wasn't in at that time. So my life was just kind of rotating around all those things and exposures. I had decided I was done with the big shows, and I came back to Vashon, and the Harmsen-Spreckel family was having dinner at the house, and they said to me, well, what are you going to do next? And I said, you know, I don't really know. I guess I'll just keep following my heart and see where it takes me. And Cord looked at me and said, why don't you buy the little house? And I said, the little house? And he said, yeah. And I said, I don't know what that is. So I went and met Jean Peck, who had a very well-established business and nicest lady. The only thing I didn't take out of the store when I left was I didn't want the bird that was in there. So other than that, I just took her store. Had I ever bought anything in my life? No. But it was just following those steps again of what ticked and what made me happy and what made me smile. And so I bought the little house, and I can remember sitting in Jackson Hole on a ski trip thinking, oh my, what am I going to do now?
What have
had
I
the
done?
Store for 38 years, and have I ever bought anything on a retail market base? No. So it was just whatever felt good, we bought. So that's the story of the little house.
Fantastic.
And that's where we came to, you know, that's where I came to land and do, and Santa became the big hit from when I was 23 years old, when I played the first Mrs. Claus.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. So I guess I'm just, like I said, I guess I'm just a Claus person.
Let me ask you about that. The little house, anybody who's lived on the island remembers the little house's institution. Was that the only business that you were involved in on the island, or did you have any other businesses?
Oh, no.
Not that that wasn't enough.
No. We also played with the malt shop.
Oh, yeah,
and
across the street.
Across the street, and that started coming back from a ski trip up to Crystal Mountain. One morning, coming back down, and there was a store in there called Bugsy's, which was a really fun store, also more of a woman's clothing type store.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I wonder what's going in there, because she was moving over to the Thriftway parking lot area. And we said, why don't we do a malt shop? And it had any knowledge of a malt shop? Yeah, I worked in the candy store at the swimming pool when I was in high school, but nothing other than that. And so that was when Dairy Queen, Island Queen, was only open in the summer.
Mm.
It wasn't a go-in, sit-down type thing. So by gum, by golly, we took over and built a malt shop. And a fun story that quickly was one of the kids who just turned 60, I got invited to his 60th birthday party. And I took the old malt shop machine that had been my brother's when he was playing high school football. And it was in the store, and I took it up and presented it to him for his 60th birthday.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah.
So we had lots of fun times. My boss from Portland came up, brought the tents from the gas company, the barbecues from the gas company, and we had a huge party to open that up, stood on the front porch and watched St. Helens blow.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of history tied in with that. And the opening was a black tie Vashon style party, which meant that Miss Bruce Kirshner wore a real hamburger patty, the whole kit, and yes, he won the contest.
Yeah.
So that was the other one that was really there, was the malt shop.
The malt shop is an historic spot for our family, because our first of five dogs would go in there and we'd always get an ice cream cone. And it was always given the Oki, our Malamute, loved The malt shop, for obvious reasons.
Fun times.
Yeah, so the malt shop and the little house, those were the two major.
Those were the two major adventures.
Right, right. I'm curious, why did you decide to call it a day after many years at the malt shop? Because it was many years at the little house.
That's a very good question. You can follow your heart and do your crazies, and it taught me the biggest lesson I learned through that period of time, which had been, one, started with my mother being recreational director, was the involvement of kids and community. Mm-hmm. And they go so together. And so for me, it was, I could see changes coming. My marketing was a little different than a lot of it because we themed our store every year. We just weren't retailers. We were community people, very definitely. There was no question. And we won 6 national awards from Gifts and Decorative Magazine for those contests. And we would take 1 year, it was Moosehead Island Lodge, which I have my sweatshirt on today. Mm-hmm. And we had so much fun, we converted it into a cottage that way. 1 year it was Over the Sound and Through the Woods. All Hearts Are Home for Christmas. And we would do that type of thing. And that's where Santa's Cottage first began. And then the fire marshal came along and said, Betty, you can't have hay and a heater in the same unit.
Ooh.
Yeah. So then we went looking for a place. And so why did I let go of all of that? I could see changes coming. Number one, computers. I'm not a computer person. Number two was there was a change in the candy routine. Number three, because the kids weren't doing as many sweets at that period of time, the sugar thing came to life. Number three, I think it was just time for the next stage. It was a very, very, very hard decision for me to make. Mm-hmm. And the Kirshner families, girls had sent a card, and it said on it, through the eyes of a child.
Mm.
And I probably will always be that child, but I also kind of related to the fact that it was somebody's time to come in and be younger and be crazier than I was. I mean, we had done our soapbox
big shoes.
Derbies. Thank you. That's very sweet. We had done the soapbox derbies. We had done, you know, and it's coming up with the crazy new idea. And I could see that type of merchandising disappearing. I could. And it was time. And it worked out fine. Hetty bought it. I called and said, would you like to buy the store, meaning the building? And she said, yeah. And so she still had candy, and she still offered fun things like that. So it was just following the footsteps and following the heartbeat that it was time.
I will say she's done a great job of it.
Yes, she has. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, it has been.
Let me follow up just a little bit, because one of the things with both the mall shop and the little house was, I mean, you employed half of the kids on Vashon Island, right?
That was, I have to say thank you. I have to say that this year at Santa's Cottage, I had a lot of tears because I was watching my staff bring their babies to the cottage.
Wow.
And that's the complete circle. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have asked to follow a better path to bring me. And if we did, the kids were very involved from the time they were little. I was Mrs. Froning's third grade schoolroom teacher type thing for many, many years. And that's how kind of Dasher was created. Dasher first went to your wife's preschool. And my boys could hardly wait to grow up to be able to wear the costume to the thing. So, you know, there's just those things that, you know, that happen and that you see that make it click. So it's a full circle. And this year was tough. I, you know, watching them come and go. And we've created some new things with it. So it's fun.
For those of you who've never seen Dasher, and I don't think there are many that fall into that category, wearing that head and those antlers, if you will, on that moose is no mean trick, especially when you're trying to get through a doorway.
You duck a lot and you have somebody walk with you because, you know, but that's, again, seeing the world through the life of a child, through the eyes of a child, you know. And that was our merchandising theme. And there was always something crazy and something fun going on. And out of that, once we had to move out of the cottage in behind the, which Santa might like to stop because it's now a bar, but we, yeah, we had to listen to the fire marshal and it had to happen. We originally built the cottage down on the main highway at the Holly Farm, and the people were going to do a touch type farm, And then there was an illness in the family, and they moved back to Canada. And I said, hey, let's raise the money and build a cottage. And they said, great, this is a perfect place to do it. When they moved, though, we had to change. Now, ask us when we moved. I know we built the cottage in 1968. The first group to go through it was the following year. And how and when we moved it uptown, nobody knows. Mm-hmm. None of us who were involved in it know what date we actually do. We think it was probably about the time of when the farmer's market went in.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? That reminds me. What did you say what year you moved to Vashon?
What year I moved up here?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. I probably moved up here in 68, 69.
Okay.
We built the cottage. I bought the little house. This is terrible. I bought the little house in the 70s. We built a cottage in 86. And the first group went through in 87. So, you know.
Yeah.
It's
late 60s.
Yeah. Yeah, probably late 60s. 60, probably 69, 70 at the latest.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Betty, full disclosure, folks, Betty and I have a relationship back to VCC, Vashon Community Care.
Now that's heartbeats.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, I know that you've been involved in all kinds of community service here on the island, including the festival and the Soapbox Derby and VCC and others. So tell us about that. Tell us about your community service work.
Again, I'm truly one of those who has not done it for the money or the recognition. It became something, my mother again was involved with the senior group. So it started when I was really early. Chris Beck, well-known Vashon artisan, got me involved in VCC. I was on two sections of the board. I served dinners for 10 years, once a week, and that was nothing more rewarding than being able to reach out and watch that. We have a friend who is helping this week, who many people know, who is going to also assist in playing a role involved with Santa, going to visit. And so that was one. I ran for mayor. I didn't win, but we had a good time. We raised over $10,000. VCC was one of them. My involvement with the schools has been everything from Mrs. Froning's room mother to cheerleader advisor, and boy, was that a handful.
you can imagine.
when the scholarship committee, well, before the scholarship committee was really formed, there was a small group that had started that and contributed to that for many years. So I've had my fingers in a lot of pots and stirred them. And so I've been very blessed by that. And I feel that. I feel very blessed by the exposure. And it has helped me have a real understanding, again, that when I played Santa, for my parents, they had bought a tavern after I graduated. It was my dad's dream. And I went down and sat in a little town called Mapleton, Oregon. And that's where I really got small community feeling. Mm-hmm. And it's special. The last 2 years, the third graders have been back in the parade, leading the parade. That, to me, watching the young kids want to be involved, a high school group called the Day of and said, can we please come up and be involved in it? Mm-hmm. So I've got that feeling of it's all about how do we make the circle bigger and the arm spread wider through the eyes of a child? And when it comes to that, couldn't be better. So.
You know, you just reminded me, you are involved and have been involved in so many different community activities, especially around the holidays and the various parades and whatnot. And you have been involved with the caroling, the holiday singing at the theater that happens every year, which happening tonight. And I have to put that plug in. It's happening tonight at the theater, 6 o'clock free. 6 o'clock, come on over and sing with your friends and neighbors and have a good time for a little over an hour or so. You said you played Santa. Is that what you were saying?
No, I played Mrs. Santa.
I was going to say.
No.
I was going to be.
No,
you had a lot of wigs and beards if you were playing.
but you know, the nice part about Vashon, and we really relate to this, is you know, Santa is Santa.
Right.
And the elves are the elves.
Right.
There is no interplay, which is really good.
Yeah.
And so when people ask that, it's like, who answers the letters that are written?
Yeah.
And the answer for the elves pick them up. And there's a story about the 24-carat Christmas and how the reindeer come here. If you go 8 times 3, it's 24, and they come to collect the 24-carat gold.
Yeah.
So those things relate to that. And they've put out over 100, almost 150 letters a year. Wow. The kids on Vashon. Very important, just like coming to sing along, and it is part of being there, is that they have to have addresses. If they are still dropping the letters in the mailbox till the 21st, they have to have their addresses on it, because Santa only recognizes rooftops.
One other small thing I've noticed in the last couple of years, that there are more young people at the sing along. So they're getting more involved.
Yes.
And some of them have fabulous voices. I think they're members, some of them are members of the choir or the glee club or whatever. And it's always good to see younger people coming in there and singing. So,
well, you're just getting involved, and it's fabulous. That's what builds our energy, and that's what builds that community feeling. And we have things that nobody else does. Mm-hmm. They called for a newspaper article from an off-island one, and I said, I can't disclose that. I can't tell you the secrets of Vashon and 24-carat Christmas. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how those letters are answered. And they know things that aren't written in their letters. Mm-hmm. That's the magic.
That's right.
That's a magic. So keep it all going, you guys, and sing along tonight and have it be wonderful. So
that sounds really great. Say, Betty, you talked about the Santa's cottage and the sort of the different locations and how it had moved around. Who all was involved in that work? And I just noticed, for example, I was walking through the town center. It looked like it got re-roofed this year.
Oh, it sure did, by a very wonderful donor and somebody who's very...
Well, so how's things going this year then with the cottage?
We've had good attendance. We've had a lot of good people. We've had repeats because we didn't have to give out pillowcases. The first time pillowcases were given out was when there was a Santa's breakfast at Steen Estates. And the Santa was sleeping in the bed, and he brought extra pillowcases so they could have visions of sugar plums. So it has been well attended all the way through. We've had some great donors. I've never a charge to go to the cottage. Absolutely. The preschoolers come, and we read stories to the preschoolers. And so they're there. This year, the seniors were invited, as I said, and they will be revisited later today. So we're constantly expanding what we can do. And if anybody would love to, if they came uptown, they missed out on the tree lighting because the tree was beautiful. And if they have suggestions for the parade, we had 36 or 38 lit floats this year. Mm-hmm. And Vanessa will always take more for that, too. We could always use that. We had three hydroplane races tied together and lit up. There was a gingerbread house. There were silly things. If you want to make a suggestion on something that you would like to see done or changed, the chamber is more than happy to listen to them and consider the changes they'd like to see. So this is time when you, or those people that are listening, can step up and be a contributor. And there are certain things, like with festival, we can't control. We probably will never have another, Ferris wheel or whatever. And I think, Bruce, you have something to add to that. There was a letter, wasn't there, from a woman named Betty McDonald?
Yes, there was.
And it covers community. It covers just what we're talking about.
Yeah, it was an article about 2006 by Leslie Brown, when she was editor of The Beachcomber. And she was talking about reading. When she first came to Vashon and first took over as editor of The Beachcomber, she read Betty McDonald's Onions in the Stew, which is her book about living on Vashon Island. And so Leslie was sort of reminiscing about reading that and sort of all the things about Vashon that made it special through Betty's eyes. And she said, this is Leslie writing, she said, as Betty described, family life made richer by their isolation because they were dependent on each other. Even in the 1940s, this young mother of two was thankful they lived in the country. And this is a Betty quote, where we wouldn't run any risk of being tainted by the gross commercialism so rampant in the city. We're going to have a real Christmas, she continued, pure in spirit, old-fashioned in execution. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's Betty McDonald writing in the 1940s about Vashon and the post-war period. And we still have a bit of that today.
Yeah. Well, I think she looked through the eyes of a child.
Yeah,
I exactly. do. I think Got that it. Was yep. part of it. And it's the community bound. Like I said, come to sing along. If you miss the tree lighting, come up next year. Put yourself in it. Be part of it. Right. It's that's the way we giggle and laugh our way through life, I think.
Yeah. And Betty McDonald was such a great person to capture that. Not only in Onions in the Stew, but that Eyes of a Child. If you haven't read, what's the name? Plum's, her book. It's a children's book. My wife reads it to our grandkids all the time. And it's just a wonderful sort of experience of these kids. And it's looking at the world through the eyes of a child. Nancy and Plum is the name of the book. Yeah. And if you haven't read Nancy and Plum,
it's a great book to sit down and read with kids.
And kids just love it. And Betty's a very funny writer. I mean, she's one of these you laugh out loud reading it kind of writers.
Yeah.
And so,
you know, I can remember as a kid watching Ma and Pa Kettle, which is obviously takeoff on Betty McDonald. Yeah. I had no idea that she lived on Vashon until
you moved here.
I moved here, yeah.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh my gosh. I can remember as a little kid watching those Ma and Pa Kettle, black and white, you know, gonna have to fix that one.
We're dating
days.
Ourselves.
Oh,
we're
boy,
dating
big
ourselves.
Time, big time.
There's a great story about, I mean, the Ma and Pa Kettle characters were in a book called The Egg and I,
right.
which mm-hmm. she wrote about when she was living in Chimicum on an egg farm.
Yeah.
And then she divorced and remarried and moved to Vashon Island and wrote The Egg and I, which became a movie, you know, a very successful book for her. But there was actually a lawsuit by some neighbors in Chimicum who were offended because they thought they were the source of Ma and Pa Kettle. And this went all through the courts, and finally the courts decided in Betty's favor.
Oh, man. You know. I had no idea.
I didn't know that.
No. Yeah, oh, yeah. It's some little legal research would be fun, Craig. The Egg and I story is a great Vashon story. But she moves to Vashon Island. She lives up on the north end, and it's a great experience.
Yeah, and Chimicum is out on the peninsula. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, right. Just south of Port Townsend. Seems like Susie and I were out exploring around, and I believe there's an Egg and I Road, if I recall
properly.
Oh,
there,
wow.
there is.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, something, I always go to our lovely little bookstore, and she helps me pick out the new books for to read in the cottage, because several of those kids are there for 2 or 3 years, you know, because they're in preschool. And it's wonderful because some of the books that are we're talking about are ones that still keep coming up, and then there's a new one that comes along. But it's just fun because those are called the traditions that just happen with that whole thing. And it's so if you're stuck with one, they know the information, and they can certainly help you with books because it's great. Right. You know, it's really fun.
So if anybody wants to get involved with Santa's Cottage, how do they get involved? How can they help?
I'm channeling. When the cottage was built, I raised the money with the Vashon business people. And I said the stipulation was it would never be used for anything other than Santa's Cottage. That was it. It can't be used for anything else. It is where Santa comes for all the reasons. So I am, you know, I have basically pretty well maintained it. Chambers kept some things up. They did an electrical thing. We had a break-in last year. It was all volunteer work. I mean, people stepped up, like, I can't tell you, to repair the damage that was done because we had 2 break-ins. And so they can always contact the chamber because this cottage will be handled. The elves, I have a personal contact with the elves that write the letters. So they can just leave the information at the chamber, and I will pick it up and I will channel it to the people who are writing the letters, because they deliver them back to Santa. And that's the only way we can do it. And it's fun. It's very fun. But there's always, you know, if somebody wanted to come and be involved, at the cottage. Last year, like I said today, the band showed up. They called and said, can we come play? And Santa's out boogieing in the parking lot like crazy. He's a good dancer. I didn't know Santa danced. He's a good dancer. Mrs. Claus was out there with him. So there's always things that we can do. We can always put flowers around. U.S. Bank has been fantastic in letting us have that property. Never has charged us a cent for it. So, yeah, there's always just I have an idea. And like I said, if you have an idea for you want to be in the parade next year and or you think you should do this or that, don't just say this is what you think you should do. Join and help do it. We're not looking for complaints. We're looking for suggestions and fun. More.
So let's follow up on that a little bit. I mean, the parade is a relatively new thing. I mean, in the last 20 years or so.
Right? Yes.
Yeah, right.
So, probably, as I remember, yes.
Yeah, so tell us about sort of how did that whole concept of Winterfest develop and emerge?
I'm not sure.
Cottage has been around for a long time.
Yeah, I'm not sure. When I first got involved, it was with it was the era that Betty McDonald was talking about. It was the era of Doc Easley and the Wagons. Mm-hmm. And I got involved with it because I was Mrs. Froning's room mother. And I asked Doc if he would come do it. And he was there for many, many, many years. And then it just kind of expanded, and I was out of my store in the chamber. I mean, I was not doing that connection type thing. The third graders were singing then. I have pictures of them standing under the tree when it was not the best lit in the whole world. And that might have been another reason I decided to sell, because my friend had moved and nobody was wanting to climb up that tree and do it. And I was not about to climb up that tree and do it. I thought they would get electrocuted. So... the chamber started moving in, and we've moved the tree. The tree was in the backyard of the little house for a long time. The tree has been down in the park. Mm-hmm. The tree has been at the library. Mm-hmm. The tree has moved. And I think Santa just likes new sights. I don't really know, but I think he just likes to see new places and cause new challenges. Mm-hmm. If anybody wants to climb up the tree, well, I think we'd have a problem with, you know, insurance on that one. But yeah. And they did a marvelous job this year and last year.
Was that Puget Power? Did they do it or did...
Puget Power does the
candy canes. Right. Yeah,
this
right.
was the people that trim trees.
Esplund.
No. A local. Oh.
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm just blank as a...
Vital Tree?
Vital Tree, thank you.
Oh, Jean-Luc.
Yes, thank cheers you. For Vital Tree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, John, I didn't realize. Jean-Luc. I didn't know if Jean-Luc did that.
Oh,
yeah.
We had real problems the day of, and they were up here at like 10 a.m. in the morning and spent all day fixing that tree.
Oh, right.
So cheers off to the three major sponsors this year were Sotheby's, Vital Tree, and Ace Hardware.
Oh, great.
So all that, basically, there's a budget for that, but not a big budget. So they were all volunteers from the heart. And Bernie, who helped re-roof the roof. Mm-hmm. That's a major one, you ask. And that was a major one for us because that roof was 30-some years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's great.
It takes a village, as
it
they say.
It takes a village, as they say. And we saw that this year with the participation in the parade. You know, I mean, I think next year it'll be twice as long, and we hope it'll go down. We've got some plans. There's a regroup. So I said, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? Be gentle on the wrong. Be hard on the right of ideas. And we'll have a meeting in January to regroup and see what it is. Right. In the meantime, Mr. Ho-Ho will come. He will be, the reindeer will be finding their 24 carats of, and understanding that story now. And I will be home sleeping under my tree and watching visions of sugar plums dance in my head. So thank you guys for inviting me, and I hope everybody has a wonderful holiday season.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
We're not going to let you go.
Yeah, no,
that
exactly.
Easy. You can't run out on us.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to ask you a question that I don't think we gave you any warning about at all. It can be a difficult question, but you said you've been here since the late 60s. And I'll ask the question that we ask many of our guests who've been here that long. And it has to do with what do you think what do you think's changed in that time, and what do you think basically has persevered and stayed good and the same?
You mean in the town?
On the island of Vashon.
Well, I moved up here during the hippy dippy days. There was no question about it. It was the one where the sign said, well, the last one to turn leave Seattle, turn out the lights.
Right.
That was the era. And then it was very Betty McDonald. It was Betty McDonald. It was the small little beads and the people living in the vans. And then people had taken advantage, lucky for them, to buy the property that was available for those people who had been hit by the Boeing. Community, let's see. I'm going to say that the first open houses started by Layton's, the Wallflower, and the Little House Before I Owned It. Those were the three major people. Larry used to dress in his tuxedo, and she dressed in her velvet gown, and they served hot apple cider. And the town came up and really mingled. I can remember there were, what do you do on a Friday or Saturday night? There wasn't much to do. And we have grown socially in a beautiful way. We have an incredible arts program. We have good sports programs. We have more people, like I said, those young kids. When I went back to tell them thank you for coming last year, playing Jingle Bells all the way down the street, I said, I'm here for two reasons. It's two words. And the words are thank you. Thank you for stepping in and becoming part of the community. And then I asked them if they would know what a class reunion was. Of course, none of them knew what a class reunion was. They don't call it, they don't call it an annual. I think they call it a yearbook. But, you know, there's things have changed just in language and stuff. I see the involvement with our youth happening in a better, stronger manner. I see our youth having more programs offered to them, i.e. the Allied Arts, that type of program type of thing. Yeah, we could use some work on the ferry system. Yeah, but I'm not going to come in with a negative manner. I'm going to come in what I see with a positive of it being just a really happy, you know, type of situation. Yeah, we have a lot more tourists, but maybe they'll make it where our ferry boats are better because they'll have to accommodate those things. I try and take the negatives every year when we see Chamber. My heart aches because they want the Ferris wheel. And like I said earlier, insurance, you're not going to get it. Do you know what it would cost to load those rides on the boat now? You wouldn't want to pay $15 a ride. So take those and go to the city and go to the state fair and enjoy those things. And in the meanwhile, walk on our rocks, throw the stones into the sound, listen to them go plop. I went with a little boy last week walking around Fisher Pond. He's 18 months old. And Boone was in seventh heaven going plop, plop. Take those advantages. That's what I see. I think it's coming back to appreciation. I do. I feel it's very strong, Craig.
That's good. I had a feeling that you would be emphasizing the positive, which is a great.
Well, there's no sense in dwelling on the negative.
I know. Well, a lot of people do.
Well, because those kids, when I asked them if they knew what a class reunion was, and the answer was no. And I said, well, the thing about it is it's where you talk about all the things you used to do. And I said, you know, in this case, you will talk about walking down that street, playing Jingle Bells all the way down the street. And one of you may have even hung on to those Jingle Bells. Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, exactly. We had the Honeybee Play School at the morning scramble here a few days ago. And those kids, now we've had them back, I think, 5 years now.
And they come straight to the cottage after they are here.
Yeah, I know. And they those are memories they say the parents just love it more than the kids do because they pack the studio when they're all here. So it's another great island tradition.
And they sing to me before they leave. It's just fabulous. Yeah. They're coming, skipping down the road, doing their thing.
You know, you're talking about reunions. Earlier this fall, I was back in Providence, Rhode Island, and had a reunion of my Army unit from Vietnam.
Wow.
And after I left, we took a little tour of OWOP through Plymouth and really enjoyed our time. But we were having dinner, and there were four young women sitting at a table. Being quite loud, actually, but they were obviously there for a 10-year, I think it was a 10-year high school reunion. because they were kind of getting acquainted, reacquainted, and gee, what have you done? Oh, you went to nursing school, and you know, anyway, they were really having a wonderful time. And I walked over to them as I was leaving, and I said, you folks need to recognize how very important this dinner is tonight. And they all kind of looked at me, and I said, I just came from a reunion that's from 60 years back. And they were like, what high school? I said, no, it wasn't high school, you know, but the Army. And but one of them said, thank you so much for saying that, because she said, I almost didn't come tonight. Oh. And she said, I'm so glad I did.
I just went to my 60th class reunion.
Yeah.
And it is a joy that, mm-hmm. you know, and every once in a while somebody shows up that hasn't been to one.
Mm-hmm.
They just pop in and it's like, oh, you're here. And we had, my class was huge. It was in Eugene, 450 in my class.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was my graduating class. And we still have over maybe 175.
Wow.
So it's still, it's one of those. But those kids will remember that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Our high school reunion is back in Ohio. I went to two different high schools, but I was really attached to the people in this little town in Ohio. That's why I mentioned why Kitty Hawk and not Ohio, where
exactly where they were from.
But they get together every month.
Oh, wow.
Every single month they have a luncheon together, and there's it's just a great group of people who've lifelong friends.
So. Well, there's a group in Eugene, Oregon that gets together once a month.
Mm-hmm.
They go and have pizza, they do whatever, and sometimes they take little trips, and you know, it's a group that never left, so it's good.
So, Betty, we're almost out of time. We've got a little bit of time. So let me ask you, what's next for Betty? You followed your heart your whole life, so where's your heart leading
you now?
Honey,
I'm on that same path. I'm not changing. You know, there's the pros and cons. The bones ache a little more, the arthritic hands. But those are all minor things that we can work around. And I will continue to put my energy into two things, to aging and there's not as much available that we can do there, but like I made arrangements that Santa would visit the cottage this week. It was important to me. And they came, some of them that could come came, and now Santa, Father Christmas, is going to visit them because Santa had to head back. He just had too much to do. So Father Christmas will be going to visit them. And I think I could maybe hear a big ho, ho, ho on that one.
You know, ho, ho, ho. I understand that Father Christmas is more of a GQ.
Doesn't matter. He's there, you know.
Well, he certainly has a beautiful robe that he wears. That's for sure.
Yes, he does. We've been blessed by that. And so, Santa got a new robe this year.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Boy.
So this is with the senior center?
Yes, today they're going to the 23rd. They're going 23rd, to the he's going to the senior center. Yes.
So all you seniors out there, show up at the senior center.
Yeah.
You'll get to meet Father Christmas, right?
That's right.
He's not there for very long because he still has things to help. He just keeps checking in. He's a very good friend of Santa, but he just keeps checking in to be sure everything's in order on Vashon. So, again, thank you guys so much. Each one of you have the merriest of days. And to all of you who are out there listening, please jump in and become part of this community. Plan the float for next year, whatever you want to do. Be sure you come uptown because it is a very magical night like nowhere else. There's even a switch thrown by young children to light the tree. It is a full town.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Betty. We really appreciate it. It's always a kick to talk to you. So, Kevin, tell us about next week.
So next week is the Brown Briefly is going to be on Christmas Eve. So it's a sort of a magical time of year. We have invited the members of the Vashon Mori Community Council Board to share their thoughts about what motivates them to serve in our community and what they see as our community council can help make contributions to some of those things, Betty, that you mentioned today, you know, collectively bringing ourselves together around issues that are important to us all. So look forward to hearing from some of those leaders next Tuesday.
Great. Thanks, Kevin. So for Truman, Craig, Kevin, Betty, and me, Bruce, thanks for spending the hour with us, and thanks for listening to KVSH 101.9 FM, The Voice of Vashon, also streaming live at voiceofvashon.org. Have a great day and a happy holidays.